Open your Bibles here this morning to Proverbs chapter 16 as we continue our series through the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16. And the title of my message here this morning is Man's Heart, God's Ways. Man's Heart, God's Ways. And Proverbs chapter 16 verse 1 says, the preparation or plans of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Verse 2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Join me in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Father, bless it to our hearts here today, and we're your servants, your people. And I thank you that you're an all-wise, all-knowing God. Thank you for your word, Lord, that speaks the eternal truths of God. And Father, as your people, Lord, may we have a heart to hear the word of God and let it sink deep into our ears. And Father, we live in a troubled land here in America today. And Father, your word gives hope and light and encouragement and guidance. And Father, give us the eternal perspective that we need in these times, Lord. So Father, bless us as the sheep of your pasture, the body of Christ, the church, the called out ones, as we gather around your word. Lord, help me be a vessel that honors your Son, the Lord Jesus, that brings glory to the name of our great God and Savior. And Father, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified through everything that's said and done. And may the Lord Jesus have the preeminence in all things. We'll give him thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you have been on a cruise ship? Has anybody ever been on a cruise ship? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? Cruise ship. Okay. When you were on that cruise ship, I know Dan Lamb was sharing with us some while back. They went to Alaska, you know, on that ship, they could go top floor, bottom floor. They go eat all time. I mean, lots of food, Dan said. And, you know, they fed you well. But anywhere in that boat, you could go all around there. But when that boat traveled across the waters, the captain got that boat where it wanted to go. Is that right? And that's how it works. Now, you have freedom to go wherever you want to on the boat, but the captain decides where that boat's going. And in chapter 16 of Proverbs here, it touches upon that issue of the plans of man, man's heart, the preparations and plans of the heart that belongs to man, that's in man. We make plans, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. In other words, we as people are like we're on a boat, but the captain is God. And we can go, you know, first deck, down the bottom. We can travel all around, go to the cafeteria, go where we want to. But behind the scenes, that captain is guiding that boat wherever he wants it to go. And we have to realize in our lives that although we have plans and we have ideas and we have thoughts what we want to do, and they're all well and good. I mean, that's the way God made us. But behind the scenes, God's the captain. And he's steering events where he wants them to go because he's Almighty God. And that's what Proverbs is teaching us here. The plans of the heart, the preparations of the heart in man that belongs to man. Now, God does want us to plan. He wants us to live our life, everything in a church service, everything be done decently in order. That's how God wants us to orchestrate our lives, that things are done decently in order. You make a plan. But with that plan, you have to allow room for God to express his will and his desires. Corrie ten Boom, when she was in America here, she was at worshiping at Chuck Swindoll's church, and she was leaving one morning, and Chuck Swindoll told a story that he was standing there holding his kid's hand as they were leaving, and Corrie ten Boom, when she walked by, she said, Chuck, she said, you need to hold your kid's hands loosely. Now, he thought to himself, what is she saying to me? Okay, you have to understand Corrie ten Boom's life. What kind of life did she have? You know, they tried to, in Germany, protect the Jews when Hitler, when the SS troops were coming in, taking them away. They hid them in their homes. But eventually they were what? Found out. And she went to a concentration camp. Her father was killed. Her sister Betsy was killed. And you know, for Corrie, were they doing the right thing in delivering the Jews from the hands of Hitler? Was that the right thing to do? Absolutely, it's the right thing to do. But she paid a great price. Her family did. And what she was saying to Chuck, hold your kids' hands loosely, is that God may have a plan for your children that you may not have a plan for. That's the way life works. Sometimes we have a plan, we think things will go this way. All she was trying to say is just don't grip your plan so tightly that you don't allow God to have an answer in your life or a way in your life. Because the thing is, when here the preparation, the plans of the heart and man that belong to you, that's good and well. But we don't want to hold on to so tight to our plans that we don't allow God to move in ways we may never even imagined or may have even thought. The plans of the heart and man, the answer of the tongue. God, we plan, but God says. His answer from the tongue. God has a word. And, my thoughts go to Peter. And Jesus was telling his disciples how he was going to be mocked and spit upon and go to the cross. And Peter was hearing this. And what did Peter do? What did he say? Be it far from thee, Lord. This won't happen. Now, Peter, when he said that, that was the plan in his heart. He didn't want to see Christ be humiliated, suffer, and go to a cross. He didn't want that. But what did Satan, what did Jesus say? He looked at Peter, and he said to Peter, what did he call him? Yeah. He saw Satan behind him speaking through him. And the thing about life, sometimes life takes a turn we never expected. Life goes this way. We're thinking, this is our plan. This is what, this will work out this way. And all of a sudden, God takes it this way. Now, do you have a favorite verse in the Bible? I can tell you a verse that a lot of people say is their favorite verse. And that's Romans 8:28. Why is that a favorite verse for so many people? It says what? For all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. You know, what we experience in life may not be good in our eyes, but the eternal good it's working, or the glory of God it's working, we have to allow. We don't hold on so tight to our plans that when things go another way, we're devastated. Verse 2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. We make plans. We think, this is why I'm doing it, whatever. The ways of a man are clean. You make a plan and you're thinking, oh, this is good. Oh, man, I can't wait to get this in action. And you know, God weighs the spirits, verse 2 says. What does that mean? He looks at the big situation. He says, well, if this happens and this happens, but I want this to happen. So this has got to happen over here, and that's got to happen there to get this to happen down here. And, you know, we think it's good. We think it's right. It's clean in our eyes. It looks good to us. But the Lord weighs the spirits, why you're doing it, who you're doing it with, how long you'll be doing it. He weighs it out for his glory and our good. He weighs it out. So what should we do? Verse 3 tells us, commit thy works unto who? Verse 3, commit thy works unto who? The Lord. Yeah, commit your works unto, roll that. That word commit is roll them onto the Lord. Okay, God, you're sovereign. Lord, this is what I'm planning. And God, I just want to do your will. Now, there's a man in the Bible one time, and God told him to do something. And he got a little afraid, like, how can this be? You ever heard putting out the fleece? Where'd that come from? Gideon, yeah, the Bible. Because he said, Lord, if you really want me to do this thing, you know, let the fleece be wet and all the ground around to have dew, and happen that way. And then he said the second time, well, Lord, maybe that was just an accident. Maybe let the fleece be dry and all that. You know, he flipped it around. You know what he was doing? He wanted to make sure God was in this thing. You want to make sure God was in this. Commit your works unto who? The Lord. That's where God wants us. Day by day, hour by hour, commit our works unto the Lord. The rest of that verse says what? And thy thoughts shall be what? Established. Now, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious. Some people are worry warts. They're anxious about everything. Are you anxious about the election? Are you? Are you? If you are, I understand. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, let your what? Request be made known unto who? Unto God. Now, we as believers, our country has taken a turn where we weren't expecting to go. At least it appears that way at this point. But I do know this. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. In other words, you live your life in such a way that you have God in the very center of it. It's not, well, I got this checklist, and, you know, somewhere in this checklist, God is in there, and I got all this stuff to do, and if I can fit God in, well, that's good, but if not, I'll do it some other time. No, that's not how you live your life. God is the very center of the center. You start with God in the morning. David said, evening, morning, and noon will I pray. God was the center of his life. And we everything revolves around God. Well, Lord, is this your will? Lord, is this something you're happy with? Lord, is this everything we revolve? God's in the center of it. That's where we want it to be. And so we got to keep it. Commit. Roll your works. Commit your works unto the Lord and thy thoughts, your thoughts. So if you're anxious about life, and it's understandable, but as you live in such a way that your works and your thoughts are established in God. What if things don't go the way you think they should go? Well, I want to look at some verses here in the Christian life. For the Christian life, I want you to turn to John chapter 16 here for a moment. We're going to look at the Christian life here. What's the Christian life like? Yes, Pastor, I want to commit my works to the Lord. I want to roll them onto the Lord. I want to do that. John chapter 6, I want to just pick out some verses here in the Bible. We have plans. We have desires here. Okay, John 16:20 says these words, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Now, the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. Now, what is that saying about the Christian life? We have plans, we have hopes. The disciples, you know, they thought that Jesus was going to usher in the kingdom, and they were going to be right there with that. And all of a sudden, he's talking about departing and leaving them. And they're thinking, what is going on here? God, you're going to bring in the kingdom, and we're going to be helping you in your kingdom. And he's talking about verse 16 of John 16, a little while you shall not see me, and again, a little while you shall see me, because I go to the Father. He's talking about leaving, and all of a sudden, you ever had somebody that's near and dear to you, and they're leaving? Have you ever lost somebody that's near and dear to you, and they're gone? And all of a sudden, they're just like on the insides like this, like, Lord, what are you talking here? That ye shall weep and lament. Now, are there things in this world that make you weep and lament? Are there? There is for me. Because, you know, as a Christian, I have hopes and desires for our nation to be a certain way. And when it's not, it makes me sorrowful. It makes me sad on the inside. Because I know that righteousness exalts a nation. And when we stop being a righteous nation, we're bringing God's wrath and judgment, and we lose the blessings of God upon us. And as I look around this world that that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Now, for us as believers, we commit our works unto the Lord, and we want our country and our society and our people to be a certain way. And when I see the world rejoicing in iniquity, does that bother you? Does a gay parade bother you? It bothers me. Isaiah says they take their sins like a cart and a rope, and they just parade their shame right before everybody. They have no shame about it. They just parade it right before everybody. You know, we can have that kind of sorrow because it's not the way it ought to be. The world can rejoice right now, verse 20, and we shall be sorrowful. But guess what the end of the verse says? But your sorrow shall be turned into what? Joy. Isn't that a great blessing? Yeah, right now, we can be weeping over the way things are going. We've committed to God. We wanted God to turn. But it went this way, all right? But one day, our sorrow shall be turned into joy. That's God's promise. That's His word to us as believers. Turn to John 15 here, just over a chapter. Talking about the Christian life here. Commit my works unto the Lord. My heart, God's ways. What's God's ways here? John chapter 15, look at verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world what? Hates you. Now, in the Christian life, I commit my works to the Lord. God, why do I get this pushback at work when I put Bible verses in my little cubicle? And my boss comes along and tells me, take them things down. For a true believer, you have two kingdoms, this world and the kingdom of God. Never forget you're a citizen of the kingdom of God. And if the world hates you, be of good comfort, because it hated the Lord before it hated you. And one day your sorrow, what you experience in this world, is going to be turned to joy. And God is working all things together for good. Because if we were of this world, the world would love us. And he encouraged us, verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you. See, we've got to stir up our hearts. Remember the word. The servant is not greater than the Lord. If they have persecuted me, Christ, they will also persecute you. If they've kept my sayings, they'll keep your saying. But all these things, verse 20, and they will do unto you for my name's sake. Why? You're a Christian. And you don't think like the world. You don't act like the world. Now, the Bible says that in the end times, you will not be able to buy or sell without what? The mark of what? Beast. Do you realize, I've shared this before, in our country and in the world here, Amazon's got now where you just put your hand over a scanner. When you walk into their stores, they track you by the app you have on your phone. They know which shelf you went to in the store. They know what item you picked up. And you just, you get your stuff. They know what you got. When you scan out, all they do is just scan your hand. Whoa, that kind of sounds like what the Bible is talking about here. But you can't buy or sell. You know, China today is starting their digital currency. That there'll be a digital system. This is the first government in the world to do that. There's been bitcoins and other things, but China's the first one to start now with digital currency. And do you see how all the nations, you're talking about the economic union and the EU and all the problems they had trying to get that. But when it's digital, guess what? All that goes away. You know, Scripture is unfolding before our eyes. And But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. See, that's the difference. You know God. You can see these things happening. They don't see them happening. They don't understand how these things are unfolding. We do. They don't, because they don't know God. Verse 22, here's the key. Why do they hate you? If I had not come and spoken to them, they had not what? Sin. See, that's the deal. A righteous person, they draw a line between sin and righteousness, and they don't want to step into sin. But for an ungodly, unsaved person, what is sin to them? What's right or wrong? If there's no God, and I'm my own God, I can do whatever I want to do. No consequences. So they say to themselves, but Scripture says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also what? Reap. These people are self-deceived. They don't know God. So when we commit our works unto the Lord, sorrow can fill our hearts. The world can hate us. Turn to John 14 here for a moment, just a verse here in John 14. But in the midst of all this, what does verse 27 say of John 14? Peace I leave with you. Now, sorrow can fill your heart, the world can hate you, but guess what? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be what? Afraid. That's for you and for me. When we commit our works unto the Lord, Proverbs 16:3, we roll them unto the Lord, God can give us that peace in the midst of the storm. It can be ugly out there, but on the inside, I know my God reigns. I know he loves me. I know he's going to take care of me, and I can trust him, and he's going to be with me. And he encourages, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Well, that's the inward working of the Holy Spirit. Turn to Acts chapter 14 here for a moment for another verse on the Christian life as we commit our works unto the Lord in these troubled days. Acts 14:22. New church is moving forward. Missionary journeys are moving forward. Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas. Verse 22 of Acts, confirming or strengthening the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Now, what is the Christian life? That we must through much what? Hardships, tribulations, enter into where? Kingdom of God. That's the Christian life. Through much hardship, tribulation, we're going to enter the kingdom of God one day. My God is with me. But it's tribulation. Now, Governor Newsom in California, he's trying to keep churches shut down. John MacArthur is holding services, even though they say you can't be holding services. It's not going to get easier for the Christian church here in America. But are there any faithful Christians out there? It would say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Is there any out there that if the governor says you can't gather to worship and God says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, Hebrews 10:25, what are you going to do? God says we need to be an assembly. That's what the word church is, assembly. We're going. How can you not assemble the assembly? You know what I'm saying? How can the church is the assembly? How can you say you can't assemble as a church? That's unassembling the assembly. That's ludicrous. We assemble together as God's people. But it's not easy because the world hates us and it hates the message of the gospel and it hates sin that is exposed. That's why they fight against God's people. Through much tribulation, you'll enter the kingdom of God. That's our hope and our joy. Matthew chapter 10 here, just for one other passage. Matthew chapter 10. So much in this chapter. Verse 16, Matthew 10. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, imagery. Send you forth as sheep, God's people, in the midst of wolves. You know what's unique about that? You think about that verse for a minute. The wolves are who? Who's the wolves? Okay, they're people, but what kind of people? Unbelievers. They don't know God. You know what your job is as a sheep? To change a wolf into what? A sheep. That's what God's called us to do. There are wolves out there. They want to tear down the church, tear down Christians, tear down the work of God, tear down people. They're a wolf. But you know what God wants to do? He wants you as a sheep to change a wolf into a sheep. That's your calling. I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. God understands that. When we commit our works unto the Lord and our thoughts shall be established, when we think God's thoughts about the Christian life, we understand things and we're prepared for them. And we understand the battle that's before us, and we understand that the Christian life isn't easy. But let me ask you this. The Christian life is not easy, but is it worth it? Is it worth it?
Yes.
It's worth it. You know why? Because one day you're going to rule and reign with him forever and ever. You'll be in heaven forever and ever where there's no more sin and no more sorrow, no more sickness and no more death. Is it worth that? It's worth it. Where you'll be with your loved ones forevermore, never to be departed again. That's what God would have us do. Lester gave me this morning. I'd like to read it. Lester, where did this come out of? The newspaper? Which one? Out of the Sun newspaper. I just want to read this in closing here this morning. Maybe some of you already read it. It was in the Sun newspaper. During the Civil War, a friend of Abraham Lincoln was a visitor at the White House. One night, I was restless and could not sleep. From the private room where the president slept, I heard low tones. Instinctively, I wandered in, and there I saw a sight that I shall never be forgotten. The president, President Lincoln, kneeling before an open Bible, his back toward me, I shall never forget his prayer. He said, O thou God that hear Solomon in the night, when we prayed and cried for wisdom, hear me. I cannot guide the affairs of this nation without thy help. Hear me and save this nation. Turning wolves into what? Sheep. Taking unbelievers into believers and getting God's blessing. When the leaders of our country assembled to write the Constitution, Benjamin Franklin proposed that each session be open with prayer. And Franklin said, I've lived a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proof I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. Is that true? That is true. Our nation is great because it was founded upon God's word and prayer, but today prayer has been replaced by political intrigue, advertising on Facebook, multimedia outlets, political intrigue, materialism, mistaken notion that our private and national affairs can be run without God. Does that sound familiar? Is that where our government's heading? But here and there throughout America, voices are heard as individuals and groups begin to call on God in prayer. But this whole nation must be moved to prayer. So great are the dangers, so great the peril, so tremendous the problems, that it's imperious that we should lay hold of God in prayer for his will. Commit, roll your plans unto the Lord. Prayer can save America. Only with God's help. There is only one way out, and that's up. If we do not turn to God, we'll be overcome by the godless. It'll either be revival or ruin. It's now or never. The answer will only be found when we call upon the Lord. Spiritual values must be restored. We must return to the faith of our fathers and to family prayer in the Bible. You know, turn to Proverbs 16:3 in closing here. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. We need some godly men and women in this nation who will stand up and be counted to make a difference in this hour. Do you love America? I love America. It's a great country. And I'm not going to give up without a fight. And I hope you don't either. And I hope you stand for truth in our land. Even when the culture is going the other way, God's word is it true? Is it true? Is it true? Then stand on it. And don't be ashamed of being a Christian. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? The power of God unto what? Salvation. And we need to stand in this hour. It's a dark day for our nation. We haven't been this way before. But we need God's help. You can pray, you can live righteously, and you can encourage others to live righteously and turn to the Lord. Well, let us pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Fathers, we've looked at a lot of scriptures here this morning. Father, our nation needs men and women who will stand up for the truth and live a righteous life in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Lord, the hour is dark, but the scriptures are bright with the promises of God. Lord, our salvation is secure in Christ, and we have that hope. And Father, I pray that as believers that we would let our light so shine before men, they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. So help us, O God. Forgive our nation of our sins, Lord. We're such a brood of evildoers, God, evildoers. Lord, help us. Have mercy on us. Forgive our nation of innocent blood that we have shed from one end to the other, God. Lord, help us. Have mercy upon us, God. Give us leaders that rule in the fear of God, that love and know you, God. Father, help us, help our nation, and bless us as the sheep of your pasture. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your peace that you leave with us. Thank you for your presence that you give to us. Thank you for your promises that you give to us, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. You're an almighty God. So this week, Lord, may we live our lives in such a way that honors you and advances your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.